Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
So should we talk about nutrition on this podcast?
Yes, I think it's about time.
All right, guys, today we're going to talk to you about some nutrition principles. One thing that we talk about all the time is the Pareto principle, the 80-20 principle. And for those of you who don't know it, the Pareto principle is that 20% of the inputs give you 80% of the outputs. So a few of the things that you do or put into a system give you the majority of the results. And he first identified this in the field of economics, I believe it was, where he found that the vast majority of the world's wealth was found in the hands of a very small amount of people. And the further you go down the line, for instance, like 99% of the world's wealth is found in the hands of 1% of the population or something like that.
And it's not just with wealth too. It's like most of the world's population of people live in very few cities. So there's like most of the population of America lives in very few cities when you look at it relative. So that the Pareto distribution works in a bunch of different ways.
In all different industries and areas of life. And the reason that we want to talk about this is because we find that a lot of people are focusing on these little minute details that really don't have that big of an effect. And they're overlooking the big, the low-hanging fruit in their nutrition. And if they were to just focus on this low-hanging fruit, these big principles and master those, then they would be at least 80% there in terms of like optimal nutrition. Mm-hmm. So let's start with how you start any diet or nutrition program, like goal setting. Where do we start with goal setting, Adi?
For most people, I think initially the goal setting is some type of outcome or something that is a thing they want to achieve, whether it's I want to lose 20 pounds and be a specific number on the scale, or I want to look a certain way in the mirror, like have a six pack, or I want to qualify for some type of event or look amazing for my wedding. That's usually how goal setting will start for some people. So it starts with what is the outcome that you're looking for? Like what is the ultimate outcome? And then what I would suggest that I think a lot of people skip is going backwards from there and figuring out what the steps are on the way to getting to that ultimate outcome, because often the outcome is farther than most people think. They think it's going to come quicker than it actually will. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of hard work and discipline to achieve those kinds of things when it comes to nutrition and fitness. I think it's really underestimated in general. So especially when at the beginning of a nutrition program or any type of nutrition change in your life, you're really motivated at the beginning. So you put in more work and effort than you're willing to do long term, thinking that you're going to achieve this outcome sooner than you actually will. So I think taking that step to go from the outcome and figuring out what the steps are along the way for you to actually achieve that can help people actually stick to their goals long term. And you're not just focusing on this one thing that you're trying to achieve at the end, because that's often really hard to actually stay connected with day to day. You know, making a food decision right now, am I going to eat this pizza or not? Staying connected to the six pack that you want but you don't have is really difficult in that moment when all you really want to do is eat that pizza. So I think that's where I would start for sure, with an outcome and then working backwards and figuring out the steps along the way that are going to help you get there.
So is it like if you let's say someone has maybe 40 pounds they want to lose and they say they want a six pack, what they need to do in the short term is just start focusing on things like being more consistent or tracking their food or something very simple. Whereas much later, as they get closer to their goal, then they have to start counting. I don't know. I'm just throwing out arbitrary examples but they might have to start tracking their macros. They right. might have to start playing around with timing and all of these things.
Increasing
that right
exercise,
now,
changing their workout programs. What sometimes I see people get hung up on is right as you're about to achieve whatever goal you're trying to achieve, when you're right before it, maybe you're like a couple weeks before you've hit that milestone, or, you know, a week before your wedding and you've been training your butt off for months and months and months to look exactly the way that you want to look or feel exactly the way that you want to feel. At that point, if done correctly, you've built up skills and habits over time. So if you think about what is required to get that goal or get that outcome, I could rattle off a whole bunch of things that you might have to incorporate, and it's going to be a lot of things. But what people do is jump into all of those things right from the beginning and forget that you can actually just build up those skills over time, one at a time, and aiming low to begin with, or picking one small thing that you can achieve to build integrity with yourself and trust with yourself, and realize that you have a lot of time to stack these skills and habits upon each other. And then eventually you will end up at that state where, you know, you're tracking everything you're eating, you're exercising, you're doing resistance training, you're doing specific core work, or, you know, you're more consistent with your meditation, which is helping you work with your stress and avoid water retention, like whatever it is that compiles at the end right before you achieve that goal. But just to make a little bit of progress in the direction of the goal, you really don't need to do that much. Mm-hmm. It's much simpler than most people think. And not understanding that can quickly lead to burnout and you just giving up on your goal altogether, thinking it's not possible, when it's really just one or two really small things.
Right. Yeah, I love that. And I kind of had an aha moment as you're saying that. Like right when you start, like you make a decision to go towards some big goal, you're full of motivation, mm-hmm. right? Maybe something painful happened to you that you're trying to run away from. Like you had a bad experience at the beach or something. You want to look better, mm-hmm. or you just feel inspired and you want to run towards this really motivating goal, right? You're full of motivation in that first week, two or three. And over time, if you don't have a system in place to maintain that motivation, then we lose it and it becomes so challenging to stick to it. But aiming low, as you're saying, allows us to follow through on a very few amount of things or just one thing, and we start to see some progress, which helps keep the momentum of motivation up. And then that one thing becomes automatic. It becomes a habit.
Right.
And then we don't have to think about it. Then we can add another, again, adding more motivation. So we're able to stick to it and it's not nearly as challenging.
Yeah. I would think one really big tip is assume that your goal is going to take months longer than you think to actually achieve. Like, add 4 months on top of how fast you think that you can achieve this goal, and then assess how much work you're willing to do for that period of time, not the initial period of time. Because most people will jump in, and at the beginning, you're willing to literally run extra miles in your workouts. You're willing to, you know, weigh and measure every single thing you eat. You're willing to wake up at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. to get to the gym. You're willing to do all these things at the beginning, but that initial amount of energy really probably within 8 weeks becomes an inconvenience when you're not when you realize how much more time it's actually going to take.
Right.
You're like, oh man, am I going to actually be able to maintain this for 4 more months? It's like, maybe not, because you went into it too quickly. But if you had started small and built it up over time, it doesn't feel the same.
Right.
It's like you don't notice you've lost weight when you see yourself every single day, but if you compare your photo now to what you were, you see how far you've come. Mm-hmm. Don't try and get there too fast.
Right.
It's a very quick way to fail.
One thing I loved on the podcast I just did on the Brute podcast with John Berardi was he said, start really small and identify what is the least amount of effort I can put in and still deem it as success, mm-hmm. and be consistent with that. Then everything else is a bonus, right? So if you want to run a little extra on one day, or you want to, you know, do X, Y, or Z habit on a few days a week and not others, then you're still successful when you don't do the other things.
Absolutely.
So the next one we want to talk about is another thing that I've first learned through John Berardi, which was eat mindfully. And that's the first thing that they teach their clients when they sign up, is eat mindfully. And what that means to me is, first off, not to just stuff everything down my face as fast as I can, which is the oldest habit that I have, but to just pay attention to what I'm eating, to eat more slowly, to pay attention to the textures, the way it tastes, and the way that our hormones work is there's a little bit of lag time between when we eat something and when we feel full. And what I've experienced through my whole life is I eat so quickly that I can't, I trick the system. And so I end up feeling stuffed all the time, like painfully stuffed, because I've eaten faster than I can notice that I'm actually full. So by eating more mindfully, by slowing it down a little bit, I enjoy my food and I end up eating exactly how much I need rather than overeating, which I've done over and over and over.
And you can actually notice when you've gotten full. Mm-hmm. And I know John Berardi talks about eating to 80% fullness, like trying not to actually reach that place of being so stuffed, but paying attention to your food. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now that eat in their car, eat while they're coaching a CrossFit class, eat while they're working or while they're studying or while they're doing something else, they're taking care of their kids, and they really feel like they have no time in the world to sit down and have a meal. But seriously, the effect that just sitting down, and this is one of our coaches at WAG talked about this, like treating your meal like a hot date. Sit down and treat your meal like a hot date. If you were on a hot date with a super hottie sitting across from you, there's no way you'd be on your cell phone. There's no way you'd be distracted. And it doesn't have to be for that long. Like, sit down and give that meal 100% of your attention and focus on what does it feel like? What does it taste like? What does it smell like? And sit down and have that meal. It's going to make it a lot more likely for you to slow down as well as actually get full.
Yeah. One thing that you've done that's really helped me a lot is I would just like eat standing up at the kitchen island, or I would eat in front of my computer. And when I would do this, I would end up just eating so much faster, not paying attention to how I'm feeling, and almost always overeat and or just feel very hungry at the end of it because I just ate so quickly.
Yeah, it's a really good hack.
The next one is make your nutrition decisions a little bit slower. So give yourself a little bit of a pause between when you think you want to eat something and when you actually make that decision. Do you want to talk about that one?
If you can create as many barriers as possible, if you feel like you need to have some type of control over your nutrition and you're looking to make some type of nutritional change in your life, this is for you. Making as many barriers as possible between you and the decision that you're making when it comes to your food, whether it's like actually putting it in your mouth, deciding what it is you're going to eat and how much and putting that on your plate, as many barriers in between the thought that I want to eat and actually making that decision is going to make you much more likely to make a choice that aligns with whatever your goals are. So for example, if you have a group of, it kind of goes into our next point too, but if you have some type of snack that is totally difficult for you to control yourself around, make a couple actual physical barriers that you're going to have to cross in order to get to that snack. Like, put it in the garage on a top shelf. So not only do you just, you're going to have to decide to go and eat that snack, you're going to have to go into your garage. You're going to have to go and get onto something to reach really high and pull it out of the cupboard. You have to make a couple decisions before actually deciding to eat the snack. So it's the same thing with you can make it a little bit slower, like even set a timer on your clock and be like, hey, I want to go eat something. I'm going to go take a 5-minute walk and think about what you're actually going to decide to eat. So it's not such an automatic reaction. You're actually choosing what it is you want to eat with more like a regulated system, mm-hmm. instead of just immediately reacting to what would be the most delicious or what would feel the best in your stomach, which is what you might want now, but it's not what you want most.
Right.
So slowing down those decisions. Another way to slow down your decision is to track it in some capacity. I know people could see that and think, you know, I don't want to have to, it doesn't even have to, you don't have to weigh and measure it at all. You could just put it into MyFitnessPal. And just the fact that you're going to have to put whatever you eat in MyFitnessPal, there's a decision that you have to make before you're making your food choice. So it's, I either have to decide that I'm going to lie about it and I'm not going to put it in MyFitnessPal and I'm going to eat it anyways, or I'm going to put it in there and I'm going to own how much I'm eating and I've made that decision. But there's still like a barrier between I want to eat something and I'm going to actually eat it.
I think there's something to it. Eben was telling me a while back that there are three levels to us. There's the physical, like animal level, then there's the emotional level, and then there's the intellectual level. And I think when we're making knee-jerk decisions, and decisions that aren't in line with our goals, like me having a goal of getting leaner, but then gorging on ice cream or chocolate, right? That's from a like kind of an animal level, like an addictive level, right? Like it's coming from me just having that overactive dopamine response to sugar and just allowing that to make the decision for me. When I take the time to write it down or put it in my Fitness Pal, I have time for all of the different levels to have a say in that decision.
They all get their voice heard. And then sometimes you write it down and you're like, I actually don't want to eat that.
Right.
It just makes your decision a little bit slower and a little bit harder.
Yeah, it's kind of an extension of the eat mindfully principle. Mm-hmm. It just allows you to be more in alignment with yourself as a whole rather than just acting out of one part of yourself.
It also adds a level of accountability. Like you have to really choose to make a choice that doesn't align with your goals.
Right.
So you've really set it up. So you're like painfully aware of the fact that you are going against what you want to do.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like every time I am on like a diet or I have some goal and then I choose to like go and eat a bunch of chips or something that just doesn't fit within that diet, mm-hmm. I try to do it so quickly so that I don't have time to talk myself out of it. And by simply tracking it, it allows me to slow down and make a decision that's in the best interest of my long-term self rather than just myself in the short term.
How many times have you wanted to eat something and then you thought about the fact that you had to track it, so you just didn't?
Many.
Yeah, exactly.
So lastly, we want to talk about changing your environment. And Adi already started to talk about this a little bit with putting the food in the garage. One of the biggest influences in our whole life is our environment, our physical and social environment. So what is around us and who is around us. And one thing that we talk about all the time is pay attention to your physical environment and the food that is basically in your house. So if you have very easy to consume, like packaged, boxed, processed foods lying all around your house, then it's going to be so easy.
Especially if it's in bulk, you know, if it's like a big bag of M&Ms and it's not already portioned out, it's just, you're way more likely. So, like there is research studies that prove that you are way more likely to eat more M&Ms from a huge bag of M&Ms than from small portioned out M&Ms.
Even if you had the same amount of M&Ms just portioned out right next to each
other. You'd eat less for sure. That is like the concept behind those 100 calorie packs. That's why they invented those. Two books I would really recommend for you guys to read would be Slim by Design by Brian Watkin. And then the other book, which isn't necessarily nutrition related, but I believe it's The Secret Magic of Tidying Up.
The Magical Art of
Magical Tidying Art Up. Of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo. Well, Michael's saying pay attention to your environment. I would love to break it to you guys that you're paying attention to it, even if you don't notice that you're paying attention to it. And I think that in the Marie Kondo book, like it's unconsciously affecting your mood, your happiness, your behaviors and habits. Like the way the clutter in your space, the things that you choose to have in your environment are affecting you no matter whether you want them to or you don't. It's happening no matter what. So those two books are great. The Slim by Design is one that's specifically around food. It has a bunch of really amazing strategies that you're like, oh my God, this is so freaking simple, but such game changers. One example is most of us put our fruit and our vegetables in the crisper, like in the drawer in the fridge. And then we put, you know, denser stuff on the shelf. Like how many times do you open the crisper and you're like, I didn't even eat the vegetables, like they went bad, right? So the things that you want to eat more of, you want to make them more visually present. So the first three things you see when you open the fridge are going to be the most likely things that you're actually going to eat. Same thing with your cupboard. If you have kids, make a specific kid bin that is like a box that's closed that you have to open to get to, or put it in the bottom corner so you don't even see it. It's amazing what happens, how quickly you forget about something that you just don't see all the time. It's pretty crazy.
Or put all of the tasty treats in a safe and the only person that has the code is the skinny person in the family.
No.
That probably wouldn't work.
No.
One thing I picked up from Stephen Guiné, who wrote The Hungry Brain. Mm-hmm. on the podcast we did together, is we want to keep as many foods as possible that take a while to cook. And if we have things laying around that are just very quickly or very quick to consume, like packaged processed foods, then we're almost always going to pick those up when we're in a time crunch or we're kind of stressed out. If we don't have those things around, then we're just automatically going to make better decisions.
I love it.
So guys, first off, make sure the goals you're setting for yourself or the outcomes that you're going for, make sure you understand everything that it takes to accomplish that goal.
You only need to take one or two things at a time. So you need understanding everything that it takes is one thing, and then know that you only have to pick a couple of them at a time as you're on the path to achieving that goal.
Get yourself some momentum, maintain that motivation, and you're going to be so much more successful. Number two, eat mindfully. Pay attention to what's going in your mouth. Maybe eat a little bit slower. Pay attention to those hunger cues. I've been working on that for years, and I think I'm getting a little bit better. Make your decisions take a little bit longer. So give yourself pause, allow yourself to align on all levels, physical, emotional, and intellectual. And then finally, pay attention to your environment and set yourself up for success.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.